just have to. So just for the tape's sake, we've just read John 15, 1 to 11. And the verse that came out to me, that really spoke to me as I was reading this scripture, and I'm only going to use one verse, that's all. You'll be pleased to know. And it impacted me, because I don't know about all of you, but when you read the Bible, you can read a passage of scripture, and then all of a sudden you'll read it another day, and somehow something is enlightened to you. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes to tell you something new. And every time we read the Bible, that's why I love it so much. There's always something new and refreshing in it. It isn't old. I want to tell you that. It isn't an old book. It's new and it's current and it's personal to us. So this verse, verse 9, kind of came out to me. And it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And somewhere this abiding is telling us and it's asking us to stay connected. And so you can remember last Sunday when I said to you about God wants us to keep in these places of being on the mountaintop. Stop coming up and down, he was saying to us. Because when you're connected, when you're tight in, and when you're in a place that you love him so much that he's your everything, he's your waking thought from the moment you wake up to you going to bed, and you want to be with him and you want to love him, that is abiding. And God wants us to keep in that abiding place. And this love is what I feel that God wanted me to talk about, is perfect love. And perfect love renews us and transforms us and revives something in us. This perfect love makes us alive. And there's many churches and there's many religions that are very, very dead. And I believe in here, I can hear it when we sing, we're alive. We're awake. We're alive to who Jesus is. And this morning, he's just going to make you a little more alive. So wherever you are, just God is going to waken you some more just to the preciousness of his love. Because when we talk about his love, it's so vast. That you think you may know something of God's love, and then he tells you something else and he just blows you away. And that's what it's been like in my life, and I'll give a little bit of testimony to that as I go along. But when we come to read God's word, we come face to face with all the authority and all the power and all the love of God's word. Because when we start even at Genesis to the end of Revelations, every single line is a love letter. It's telling us who God is, and it's telling us how much God loved his people, and it's singing over us and rejoicing over us, and when it's precious. And so I want to ask you today, just a challenge as we keep going, do you read it? Is it a love letter to you every day? Do you read it like that? And is it transforming you? Is it renewing you? Is it bringing authority over your life? Because I want to say to you, let it do that. It's so important that it does. And so this perfect love that it says, as the Father has so loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is the most securest love that you will ever find. So I believe the world, and we're all looking for love in some ways, but this love of the Father, this love of Jesus, this love that the Holy Spirit reveals to us is the most securest love that you will ever know. And when we were singing this song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, that's what perfect love will help you to understand, that Jesus is yours. This isn't religion, it's relationship. And we have to understand that. And it's intimate. It's just to you. It's just to you, Irene. It's just to you, Pete. It's just to you, Crystalina. It's personal. It's to us all. It meets us where we are. And it's something glorious. And so if there's something in you today that you're feeling a little insecure, God's going to come with his perfect love. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. So if you don't understand that even today, maybe you ask that the Holy Spirit is your best friend, because he gives you an unshakable assurance of who you are in Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from anywhere. It doesn't come from a knowledge of reading. It surpasses knowledge. It comes from a revelation that comes by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to your spirit. And it tells you in Romans, if you read it, Romans 8, it tells you, your spirit, the Holy Spirit tells your spirit that you are children of God, that he loves you. And so when Dave did this fantastic talk last week, he did a fantastic talk last week, about this grace gift that God brings us of salvation. You see, we all need a saviour. And we've all needed a saviour. We've all needed the cross to be applied over our lives. We've all needed the precious shed blood of Jesus over our lives to bring us into relationship. And without that, we'd be nothing. Without the precious blood of Jesus, without him giving everything for us, and us understanding that he died to forgive our sins and freed us. People get muddled up about coming to church and they think it's about what they can get. It's about a knowledge that we come to this almighty God who gave everything when he gave us Jesus Christ. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that for any one of you. But he did it. He absolutely loved the world. The Bible tells us so much that he gave his one and only son. And he gave everything for us when he gave us Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave us everything out of heaven, all the love, perfect love, when he died on the cross. And you've got to understand, even in the last breath of Jesus, because so you've got to understand, he had his hands nailed to a tree and his feet, and he'd been mocked and he'd been ridiculed and he'd been beaten from top to bottom, and the blood would have been pouring in his... And all his everything was hanging out on that tree. And in his last breath, he was pouring and pouring and pouring love out for the sins of mankind. That's what he was doing on the cross. He was pouring all his love out for you, for each one of you. And if that really needs to impact you, if that doesn't impact you, really nothing will, I'll tell you. If you're called to the cross, oh, there's something drastically wrong. And he kissed. This is what he did. He kissed a guilty world in love. He gave us the kiss of heaven. And then when we responded in repentance and faith, and when we turned to him and when we asked him to come into our hearts, because that's the only way. You can only go to the Father. You can only go to heaven through his son Jesus. You cannot go any other way. There is no other way. And why everybody thinks, which is a tragic thing, that everybody has got a place in heaven. Everybody hasn't got a place in heaven. Only those who believe and trust and who've given their lives to Jesus have got a place in heaven. He's given you an assurance of that, an absolute deep assurance of it, and it's precious. But he didn't just justify us and tell us we were right before the Father because of what he did on the cross. What he did, he said, I'm pulling you a little closer. I'm pulling you a little closer. Because what he said is, now you're my kids. Now you're my children. So he could have just left us in that justified place, but he didn't. He said, now you are heirs. Now you've got this DNA of mine running through your blood, and now you belong to the God of heaven. And he was shouting to you that he loved you so much. As I love the Father, so I have loved you. This security of the Godhead, the same love that the Godhead has one for one another, of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. You are as secure as that love. So if you've ever doubted God's love, I want to tell you, you need to stop it. Because it's not right. You're not believing what the Word of God says over you. And this love, and this radically will change you. You start reading Psalm 139 about God knowing you in that secret place before you were formed, and knowing you, he's hemmed you in, he's behind you. You see, God's love surrounds us and it finds us. So wherever you are today, God's love is coming to find you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly how you are. He knows everything that's going on. He knows those difficulties that you've been going through. He knows if you've got a broken heart. He knows if you feel insecure. He knows if you feel that you've just got things going on in your life that seem like overwhelming. He knows all those things. He absolutely knows all those things about you because he loves you, and his grace and his kindness is lavished over you. And somewhere you need to breathe this love in, because this love is enormous. This grace, he's committed to you. He's absolutely committed and devoted to you. And it's a love that is rejoicing over you. So as you get up and praise in the morning, as you get up and worship you, you've got to understand that all heaven then is singing over you. So it's not just you're singing to Jesus, he is singing over you, because it's relationship. It's relationship, relationship, relationship. Don't go one day, I want to challenge you, don't go one day without you being in that place of loving Jesus and telling him you love him. And so vitally important. But he protects us and he provides for us. He values us and he honours us. And what he does is the best thing in the world. Just like this scripture says, he prunes us, he comes pruning us, because he keeps us on track. And to know the discipline of God is to absolutely know the love of God over your life. He's a good, good dad. He really is a good dad. The worst dad in the world are those harsh dads and those dads that spoil the kids. But our dad is a good dad, because he'll never ruin you and he'll never be too harsh over you either. He'll just love you with that perfect love, that pure love. Very, very precious. And the more we get, the more for all of us, we get this perfect love of Jesus within our hearts and minds, let me tell you, the more our imperfect love will diminish. Because we've all got this imperfect love, because we're not perfect yet. We haven't got there yet. We're going from this, like Teresa said, this one degree of glory. We're just going from a little bit to a little bit, looking like Jesus. But the more you receive this perfect love of Jesus into your hearts and lives, the more that it penetrates your mind and your heart, let me tell you, it'll start diminishing this imperfect love in you. So you'll operate completely different. You'll love differently. You'll love in your marriages differently. You'll love as friends differently. You'll love just completely different, because you'll love with the perfect love, not from your imperfect love. And I just want to share with you today that I was somebody, and why I brought this message to you today, I was somebody who was messed up. And I got this paper out. I was writing on a piece of paper. I don't know if it's this one. I was doing a little timeline. I don't know if you ever do this. But this is my story. And this is my song this morning. This is my story. I was, when I was 8, my mum told me about Jesus. And I said this prayer and I asked Jesus into my life. But I'd never given him everything. And till I got to the age of 33. So I went from 8 to 33. And in that time, I was like messed up. And I don't know about you. You maybe can give a story like I can give a story today. I was messed up. I was screwed up. I was insecure. I felt I had no confidence. I didn't really know who I was. I questioned myself all the time. I questioned just everything about my life, not about my, oh, I got married, so I have to say, but about who I was. I was just insecure, because here I was with an addiction. And I had this addiction from the age of 13 till I was 33, until God came one day and broke in. And when you've known the revelation of the living God over your hearts and your lives, when you've known this, let me tell you, everything changes. And so for me, at this point when I had this Paul and Saul Damascus Road experience, and I was precious to have that, because it changed me forever. And Jesus was there with me and he came to heal me. And everything changed. And from then onwards, what happened with me, because I felt there was something in my heart that I felt only God loved me when I behaved in a certain way. And so it was about who I was, and it was about my behaviour, and it was about whether I was on a good day or a bad day with myself. It was dependent on my fears, on my anxieties. It was all fear sensed on that. And then God came and he revealed this perfect love to me, and he just gathered me up and he brought me close and he healed me and he set me free. And let me tell you, for all of us he can do that, and for all of us you'll have a story and you'll have a song. But when perfect love comes to meet your hearts, and you're maybe thinking, well, I haven't had those experiences and I've not been through those things, but let me tell you, for us all, we all have those moments where we don't feel very confident. We all have those moments where fears are there and anxieties are there. We all have those moments when we feel insecure about ourselves, or where we feel insecure about our gifting. And then the perfect love comes and it casts those things out. It removes them. And so sometimes this is what God was telling me. I was living from the wrong mindset and from the wrong place. That's where I was living from. I was living from imperfect love, mine and my upbringing. And so all of you, you've been brought up in all different ways. So you've maybe known the perfect love of a father and a mother, but you maybe haven't. You've maybe gone through your life and you've maybe had glorious things happen in relationships, and you've maybe not known, like Dave says, the worst times and the best times. You've maybe not known those things. But for most of us, we have. Most of us, even being in church, maybe not in this church or maybe in this church, you've known difficulties and you've known hard times. And you've known those places where imperfect love has come to meet you, and you've had no sense of value of people, or no sense of worth, or something. And what it does, it tends to make us, this imperfect love, it tends to make us hard, and it tends to make us cold, and it tends to make us judgmental and critical. But perfect love, it does the opposite. Perfect love has compassion and grace and kindness over us. And then we're able to display it somewhere so much more glorious. And God wants to do something, and he wants to help us to get overwhelmed, to get lost in the love of God, the love of Jesus. Help us to know this love is so secure over our lives. So if you've ever doubted it today, I want you today just to receive it, really, in all its enormity. And what happens is, for me, I needed healing. I needed God's kindness, and I needed God's love, and I needed God's healing over my life, and I needed to be able to forgive. And so my parents did the best that they could, but like all of you parents, I want to tell you, for every one of you, the more you get, so this is to parents, the more you get the perfect love of Jesus into your life, the more you'll love as parents and get some of this imperfect love out, the more you'll love with the fullness of Jesus over your kids. The more in your marriage, so if you're in marriages today, the more you get the love of God, this perfect love, the more you'll deal kindly. Somebody was just telling me, somebody somewhere else, about a marriage, and it was a pastor. And it's him and his wife had split up, and how harsh and how cruel. There is nothing worse than being loved with harsh, cruel love. There's nothing worse. It never makes anybody grow, that kind of love. But the more, as a husband and the more as a wife, we get his perfect love, those imperfect things about us, the way we love, will diminish over our lives. And so really, you need to step in that. And the same is with relationships. You see, what happens in relationships, and this is what happens to us, the world is getting drunk on self and self-importance. It absolutely is. And that is imperfect love. And if we have some of that going on in the church, and if we have some of that going on in marriages, and if we have some of that going on with our relationship with God, that it's about me. Because you bang into people like that. It's all about them. And it's about just this self-importance of their life and what they need to do and how they need to live it. But it's not about selflessness and this love that Jesus has for us. If you think about it, when you think about the cross, it was selfless. It was pure and it was beautiful, and it continues to be pure and beautiful over our lives. So we've got to love with that love. That's how Jesus wants us to love, because we'll change a world. We'll change marriages. We'll change a church. We'll change every relationship. If we love with this perfect love of Jesus over our lives, we'll change things around. And if we don't, if we ignore God's healing, if we ignore forgiveness, it will distort how we perceive God's perfect love, and we won't love well. And I started reading in Ephesians, Janet, bless her, she's a star. Janet started reading this scripture, and I've been in it all the time. I'll read it to you. So it's Ephesians 3, it's chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in your inner being, that's inside here in your heart, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses, it actually surpasses knowledge. It surpasses that headspace that we have. We're always trying to work out God's love, that you may be able to be filled with the fullness of God. That's what it does. It passes everything of your understanding. God's love does that. It blows us away. It's meant to blow you away. When we sing songs, it's meant to blow you away. That's what God loves does to us. And when I was reading this scripture, this is how God spoke to me. I was absolutely rubbish at maths. Dave's saying he's got a GCSE. What did you say, GCSE 5? Well, I can do one better than Dave. I got unclassified. And I think actually, in a CSE, not a GCSE, unclassified. And I think to get that, I must have even spelt my name wrong. I really could not understand maths at all. And so I do think that's what it was. But when I started to think of these dimensions, and when I was at playgroup, it was so funny. The little ones at 3-year-olds used to come and tell me things. We used to have these shapes on the side, and they used to say, Mrs. Ward, this is a cuboid, and this is this. And I used to say, oh, is it? Like I used to, because they just knew. They knew those things. And I didn't know them because I just didn't. Anyway, the 3-year-olds taught me much. And I'm sure Gabriel is going to tell me many things, because he's got a beautiful mammy and a wonderful daddy who's got a lot up top. But God loves me even though I didn't. So anyway, la-di-da. And if you understand that these breadths and depths and heights and lengths, the dimensions of God's love, and what it was for me, where I was thinking too narrow. I felt God's love, I kept seeing narrow love all the time. And God's love is so vast and so wide, and it goes from everlasting to everlasting, and it's not dependent on anything that you do. It's gracious love, it's extraordinary love, and the more you receive it. And how I got healing, I want to tell you this. So some may say, oh, it's all about you saying your sorries and you saying your sorries to God for where you've been. Yes, it was. Well, there was a couple of things that really helped me. It was about my surrender. So I said to God, I'm not in control anymore of my life. You're in control. You do that, everything will change in your relationship with God. If you do that, everything will change. And then the next thing, how God healed me, was declaration. I agreed with what God was saying. So when I started writing down on a piece of paper, God, you are my healer and my deliverer. You're almighty God and you're all powerful. And as I started to declare those things, who God was, all loving, all gracious, all kind. As I started declaring those things to the heaven, let me tell you, I was delivered. I was set free, never to go back. So people say, oh, you can never get out of addictions. You can never, they'll always stay with you. So I want to tell you, if somebody's struggling here today, if you were struggling with something, I want to tell you, you can get out of it. You can actually get out of it, whatever it is. Because I had the torment of my mind was tormented. And God said to me today, there's some minds that are tormented. They're tormented with fears and anxieties. They're tormented with insecurities, but they're tormented with addictions, things that keep going on and over in your mind. And God's love's going to come and wipe all those out this morning, if only you let him. So the things that you have to do, believe, receive. Believe it and receive it. And when you believe it and you receive it, you apply it to your heart, let me tell you, lives are changed. And I'm going to end there. But if we receive it, if we receive the fullness of God's perfect love, let me tell you, this is what's going to happen. We will become those people who God created us to be. We will actually be those people who God created us to be in the full potential of what is called over our lives. Because we've got some jobs to do. We've got some people to tell about Jesus, and there's some gifting that's in us that even we're kind of like doubting, we doubt even those giftings in us, and God wants to come with his perfect love to make us confident in what God has given us. And so wherever you are today, God's going to do something glorious. I believe that, if you'll accept it. So maybe Teresa, maybe you come up. So what I want to do with us now, because we haven't got too long and we're going to respond. If when I've been talking, yeah, you're all right. When I've been talking, you know that you would like God to come and prune off a bit of your imperfect love. Some branches that are not very good. And you know some things in your life that you think to yourself, I wish I'd just blooming stop doing that. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit can come today. And he can come, like the Father is the vine dresser. He can come and do some pruning. God's a good pruner. And if you need healing, if you've maybe experienced those things in relationships and in your life where you've not had the perfect love of God and you need to forgive and you need to be healed, you just maybe today, can we stand? And maybe if that's you, if you want a touch from God, what we'll do is this: put your hand up if you feel that there's anything, if you've maybe got some torment and you've got some struggle. There's put some people with their hands up. And would you just do us a favor that if you're near somebody, it's different. Have you got your hand up, Kevin, on it? Yeah. So, Bethan, would you maybe step to the side, but not too close to Kevin, because you're up there for a reason. And for Scarlett, would you maybe go from ding to ding? But shall we pray for one another? We're a family together. So can you look around? Put your hands up. And can you look around who's got the hands up? And Grace, have you got yours up? Paul, did you have yours up? Alan? Irene, can some people just go pray with some people? It's very, very important for Joyce. Dave, will you pray for your dad? And will you do that this morning? Just pray for each other. Go get God's perfect love over your life that'll radically change everything. And if you have a word for somebody, go give it to them. Go to tell them how much God loves them. So, okay. Dave, will you just pray for your dad, because he's done. Adam.